How can you drink a cold Coca-Cola, crisp cold Coca-Cola in the middle of the winter like that?
Because I'm sizzling hot, baby.
Oh, okay. What's that noise? It's bread time.
What's up, everybody? We are back. My name is Gabriel Valdivia.
And I'm Charlie Dietz.
And we haven't talked in, I don't know, 17 decades?
I think it's a year.
I feel like I don't even know you anymore.
You don't. I'm all different.
Well, I'm excited to get to know you along with our listeners.
I'm excited to get to re-know you, Mr. Valdivia.
I figured today we can talk about something I invented.
Gabe, you invented something?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It's this thing called wishful design thinking.
Wishful design thinking, Gabe. Tell me more.
It's when you use design to signal to the world what you want to be. I thought maybe we could talk about that and maybe we can come up with a few examples of how we've used it in the past. If you've used it before, I've definitely used it before, and some tricks on how to use it to your benefit.
I like it. Let's do it. You go first.
Okay, great. So let me tell you a little story. This story is about a young Cuban boy that lived in Tampa, Florida, and really, really hated Florida. He wanted to get out of Tampa so bad, but didn't have a job to leave Tampa. This boy was me, spoiler alert, and I wanted to leave Tampa and I wanted to go to San Francisco. You know, I was like on Dribbble. This is like early, like 2009, 2010, seeing all these great designers do all this beautiful design. I was stuck in Florida doing my shitty print brochures and direct mail crap. So I wanted to leave. And what I did is that I changed my address to San Francisco. I literally had no idea where in California San Francisco was. And I went on this thing called Google Voice and I applied for Google Voice or requested one or whatever. And they let you pick your area code. And I chose a San Francisco area code. So I applied to a bunch of places using a Google Voice San Francisco area code. And in my profile, I said that I was living in San Francisco because I thought that the only thing I needed to work in San Francisco was to live in San Francisco. And lo and behold, I found a job, not in San Francisco, but in LA. And I moved from Florida to LA, which I thought LA was like an hour from San Francisco. So I was like, I'll just move to LA and I'll just drive to San Francisco on the weekend. So that's how I designed my CV to be where I wanted to be. And the world just rewarded me for that.
Okay, number one, my first piece of feedback is your behavior is on the verge of a scammer. It's like real close there. And two, that's amazing. I did something, well, sort of similar. When I had my band, I created a record label so my band was signed. Most people probably could see right through, but I did it and I built up the label. And then what actually ended up happening was my band ended up like kind of like bringing other bands onto the label. And we never got too serious as an actual label, but we created the label for ourselves, and then we ended up actually like growing that label slightly and like having a few other bands on it and actually caring about it and moving forward. But what I was going to say is my point of this is there's always this super shady feeling when you do something like that. But in practice, actually in reality, I think it's like you shouldn't feel too bad about those moments because like you are trying to will something into existence, right? Like where's the first step to like, you can't say like, I have a band that's on a label or something and just magically make that happen. Maybe sometimes you have to actually say that and then do it and then see what happens. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's incredible. How many bands did you have on that label?
I think at our max, we had five. We didn't like have any money or anything. We were just kind of getting each other shows and sort of, we did like help one band produce a record because we, like one of the members of the band that I was in was also a recording engineer. So he helped like record their record and stuff like that. But for the most part, we helped each other get shows and just sort of get attention and sort of, yeah, draw people to each other because we had similar types of music.
Okay, another example. So in my story, fast forward a few years, I'm actually living in San Francisco and I'm working for the startup called Automatic. We're trying to make it. It's like four of us in a tiny office. And the product we're working on had a hardware component, and that hardware device needed a package. So I had a background in graphic design. I had designed packages in the past, but I didn't really know how to like design like a real package for a real product that I was doing from scratch. So what I did is I based the design of the package on the design for the Square Reader package, like the exact same dimensions for the Square Reader, because our device was kind of the similar size. So I literally just went to the Apple store. I bought a Square Reader, disassembled it, recreated that in Illustrator, designed a package for Automattic, then I printed that, and then I cut it and I pasted it on top of the Square package. Then I reassembled it, went back to the Apple store and put it on the shelf. So I put it on the shelf and I stood in the corner, just waiting to see if anybody would pick it up. And after a while, you know, people started walking up to it and like they picked it up. And as soon as they picked it up, I rushed to them and I was like, why did you pick it up? What drew your attention? What worked? What didn't work? So I was doing like guerrilla research by like basically forcing my package into the Apple store. So I did this all day until I got kicked out of the Apple store. But you know, once we did actually design the package and printed it and release the product, you know, a few months later, our package was in the Apple store. Like Apple picked it up and we were in the Apple store. So that was like another instance of, again, designing the future you want.
You willed it into existence. Yeah, I've done this too with like my work. Before I was a designer, I was like concentrating on being like a photo retoucher, and I couldn't get the type of jobs that I wanted to do the type of retouching that I wanted. So 1 month, I essentially said, okay, I'm going to just shoot the exact type of photos I want to be retouching and then just retouch the living shit out of them. Like I was going to go so hard on it. And I was like, this isn't for anyone else's work. I'm just doing this to represent like what I want to do, like what I could do. And the whole thing was actually really hard to stay motivated for because it was a ton of work. And I thought in the end, people might look at it and say, well, this work wasn't real. It's silly. But I did it all, made these photos that I wanted to represent my retouching. And like, bam, like a month later, got a retouching job, like a full-time retouching job. It's I willed it into existence.
Yeah, I think that in all these stories there's like a common thread here, which is like to some extent we're like pretending to do the thing that we want to do,
right?
But in doing so we actually do the thing that we want to do, right? Like we actually get the experience, whether it's starting your label or like designing a package or whatever. Like you actually do the things that you're pretending to do, and you're doing that without anybody explicitly giving you the authority to do so, which I think it's even more exciting because you're relying on your own initiative to, you know, walk the path you want to walk.
Back the fourth wall here for a second, but it sounded like we scripted this whole episode and we just started with nothing. We totally hit some like pretty interesting points there. That was dope.
It's almost like we've done this before. Like this is like the format of the show.
It's like putting on the old shoes and going for a walk. No? Is that a thing? I don't know. What is it? What do people, the old thing? What's the old thing?
The classic saying, putting on your shoes and going for a walk.
Okay, well, thank you for tuning into this episode of Bread Time. You can find our website now on breadtime.simplecast.fm because we let the domain expire, but hey, we're casual.
Yeah, we're
casual. And yeah.
We don't like labels. You know, you just find us where you find us. It's cool.
Right. If you run into us, that's cool. Very casual. Okay, we're gonna make some more episodes, so hang in there. Okay, we got your back.
All right. Peace.
Peace.